But I am so glad that in Jesus Christ there is hope. How about you?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant continues his series of messages on the book of Ephesians, taking as his main text chapter 2 and verses 11 through 22, where the Apostle Paul continues to describe for us our condition as Gentiles before the God of Israel. Pastor Grant reminds us that there was a great wall of separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. There was a great party, and we were not invited. But Pastor Grant explained from the text how the wall has been forever broken through by Jesus Christ, the Messiah, when by his sacrificial death and resurrection, he created an entirely new race of people in which Jew and Gentile are made one in Christ. Instead of a wall, Jesus became a bridge into covenant relationship with God. So please listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message entitled, God's New Race. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Two brothers who lived on adjoining farms had a quarrel. It started off as a minor problem, but it soon escalated to be a major war. And so for weeks, these brothers weren't speaking with each other. And one morning, a carpenter knocked at the elder brother's door. And when the elder brother went to answer the door, the carpenter said to him, he said, "I'm a carpenter and I'm looking for work." And he said, "Do you have any small jobs that I could do?" The elder brother took him outside and he pointed across the creek to his younger brother's house. He said, "You know, that's my brother's farm, but we don't get along. We don't speak to each other." He said, "What I'd like you to do," he said, "you know, last week he dug up a wider passage to allow more water into his farm. And you see what has happened? This big creek has developed because of all he has done. And he did it just to irritate me." He says, "What I want you to do, I want you to build a very high fence. I want you to build a wall, a fence that it is so thick, it's like a wall. I don't want to ever see his face again. I want this big wall. He won't see me when I'm on my side of the creek. I won't see him. Can you do that?" The carpenter thought a moment. He said, "I think I got what you mean." So he was hired. He went to town. He bought all the materials he needed to build this wall. The elder brother left and went to town. But when he returned home that evening, he was blown away by what he saw. Because instead of building a wall, the carpenter had built a bridge from one side of the creek to the other side of the creek. And guess what was happening? His younger brother was walking across the bridge to him with a big grin on his face. And as he got closer, he opened his arms wide to give him a big hug. And as he hugged him, he says, "I can't believe it. After all I have done, I can't believe that you went to all this trouble." He says, "Would you please forgive me?" The younger brother and the older brother, they were hugging. The elder brother didn't confess that he didn't really plan on building the bridge, but he did give him a hug. And while they were hugging, the carpenter said, "I'm leaving." The elder brother said, "No, you can't leave. You can't leave. I got more projects." The carpenter said, "I gotta go. I have more bridges to build." Aren't you glad, God? And that the Lord Jesus is still in the business of building some bridges. Oh, this is not my message today, but I have a feeling that some of us are in need of some bridges. Yes. I have a feeling there's somebody here with a wall, and God instead wants to replace that wall with a bridge. But let me come back to what my message is all about. Because you see, by God's grace, there was a wall that blocked us from God. There was a wall that blocked us not only from God. There was a wall that separated us from each other. You might not know that. And the Bible is talking about that. Our text today talks about this wall that separated us from God and that separated us from each other. But thank God, Jesus broke down the wall and built a bridge. Thank God for the cross of Christ, but the cross of Christ has broken down the wall that separates us, and it has built a bridge back to God. This morning I want to talk to you as we continue our series through the book of Ephesians. And as I bring chapter 2 of Ephesians to a close, I want to talk to you this morning on the theme, God's new race. God's new race. There are 3 points I want to bring to your attention this morning as we deal with this theme. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is humanity's helpless or hopeless condition. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11, and here's what the Bible tells us in the New Living Translation. It says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called what? Uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. Don't miss that part. You see, we used to be outsiders. We had been left out of the party. We used to be outsiders, but God has brought us a mighty long way. Amen. In verse number 10, we preached on verse number 10 last week. And in verse 10, we saw what? That God has made us a work of art. A work of divine art. We saw last week that God has made us his divine masterpiece. We saw that we are God's greatest masterpiece, even greater and more important to God than the created universe. The believer in Jesus Christ is his greatest masterpiece, the masterpiece of redemption. God has brought us a mighty long way. But in the text, it says, don't forget, or in the New King James Version, it says, therefore remember from where you came from. Oh, it's good for us to remember. Sometimes we want to forget. You know, sometimes we grew up in the hood, but now that we're in the suburbs, we forgot the hood we came from. But it's good to remember where you came from. Am I right about it? And here is not only talking about the fact where you came from individually. As you look at the text, he's telling us a little bit more than just where you personally came from. He's telling us where we came from as a people. No, I'm not just talking about folks who look like me. He's talking about all of us. He's dividing it between Jew and Gentile. He talks to the Gentiles because the Ephesians were Gentiles. So he has a lot to say to them about we Gentiles. You see, my friend, somehow, and some of you listen to me on radio, you may be bent out of shape by this, but the reality is, if you're not a Jew, you're nothing but a Gentile. And here's how the Jews referred to us. The Bible says they used to call us what? They used to call us dogs, or this passage said, the Jews called us as they looked down their nose at us Gentiles, they would say, you are uncircumcised heathens. Some folks figure, oh, there must be more breakdown than that. How could all of us, white folks and black folks, how could all of us be in one pot? But my friend, if you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile and you were an uncircumcised heathen. They got some rich heathen, poor heathen, black heathens, white heathens. Because, listen, if you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. About 30 years ago when we moved into our neighborhood, at that time, almost all the folks were Jewish. And as we were moving in, you know, I've been called all sorts of names. But this time we were moving into this home, and a Caucasian man who lives in the house next to us, he still does. But a Caucasian man, when he saw who was coming in, he ran over and he said, are you moving in? I said, yes. I was worried what he may say next. He may have called me the wrong name. He said, I am so glad there are another Gentile. I haven't been called a Gentile since. But the reality, that's what I am. That's what you are. We were all what? We were all Gentiles. I think this was pretty mean of the Jews to call us dogs, an uncircumcised heathen. I think that was mighty mean. Were they allowed to do that? Here's the reality, though. Whether they were allowed to do it or not, as mean as it may be, the truth is, the reality, it was true. We were all heathen. In verse number 12, the apostle goes on and he describes some things for us, and he's letting us know that the best word to describe who we Gentiles were was the word without. Did you notice all of the things it says we were without in verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 2? It says, at that time you were without Christ because you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. You were without hope and you are without God in the world. You say, come on, Brian, how could we be all this stuff? You see, he's contrasting Jews and Gentiles, and he's telling us the Gentiles, we were without Christ, we were without hope, and we were without God. Do you know they tell us that, I hear people say that, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. You can choose whatever God you want to. All you got to be is sincere. So they said, if you want to worship Allah, help yourself. If you want to worship Buddha, help yourself. As long as you are sincere in your worship, it's okay, because all roads lead to the same place. Listen, do you want to go about believing that? Go ahead. That's what the heathens believe. So help yourself. You see, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and the Ephesians had a god. The god that the Ephesians worshipped was a goddess by the name of Diana. And they were so serious about their worship of Diana that the temple of Diana was regarded as one of the great wonders of the ancient world. They invested so much in their worship of Diana that they made this incredible monument to worship her. And yet, although Paul knew that these Ephesians had their God, he points out to them, listen, if you are without Christ, and if you are without Christ, you have absolutely nothing to put your hope and your future in.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
My friend, I want you to realize I may be speaking to somebody and you have rejected the concept that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. But Jesus himself said, I am the way. John's Gospel chapter 14, verse number 6. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I want to speak to somebody, because there's somebody here this morning who needs to grab a hold of that message and grab a hold of Christ. So Lord Jesus, today I'm finally getting it. Yes, I might be religious, but the Apostle Paul says religion is not good enough. You need Christ. Christ, the only hope of the world. And my friend, would to God that this morning you would come into a vital relationship with him. We were without Christ, but we were without hope. The Ephesians were without hope. The Gentiles were without hope. You know, the historians tell us that there was an incredible cloud of hopelessness that settled on the ancient world. And there is an incredible cloud of hopelessness in today's world. We have been blessed to travel all over the world. And I tell you, no matter where we go, one of the things that stands out is the hopeless condition of the world. Some years ago, I was in Amsterdam. My tour guide told me, you know, she said, here in Amsterdam, we're so much more advanced than you Americans are. Because she made me know that, you know, we do smoke the weed. You can stop by any bar downtown way back when, get some weed. Of course, we in America are trying to do that, because there's an emptiness inside the heart of man. There is something missing, and we're seeking for something to satisfy us. So in Amsterdam, she said, you know, we've legalized prostitution. As the bus drove through all these places, you see all these little women sitting in there, almost nothing. You know, just like you go downtown and you see the mannequins or whatever they call them all. Oh, all these women, live women, yeah, live. As you drive. She says, we're much more advanced. Oh, yes. In fact, we actually have a bus. We have a van that drives around the country to relieve those of who don't want to live anymore because they have this pain or that pain. Yes, we actually have a van that tour the country to help you die. There is an emptiness. I'm not shocking you if I tell you that there is an incredible escalation of suicides in our country. Am I bringing any news to your information? And that this suicide is not only happening among celebrities, it's happening across the society, and that many young people are taking their own lives. Am I shocking you? Just this past 10 days ago, a man, he killed his daughter, and then he killed himself. Am I bringing anything new to your attention? Am I bringing new information to tell you that there is such hopelessness in the world that young people are driving through North Philly and other parts of Philly and they'll just pull out an AK-47 or whatever and blow away tons of people? The hopelessness is so great. But I am so glad that in Jesus Christ there is hope. How about you? I am so glad that I know that I know that I know that if I died today, I would wake up in heaven. And I need to ask you the question, do you have that hope? Do you have the assurance that if something happened to you, you would go to heaven, that you would be with Jesus? Listen, come on now. Do you have this hope that one day of this place that God has made, that has foundations, whose author and builder is God? You see, the Gentiles, we didn't have Christ, we didn't have hope, and we didn't have God. You say, come on, we had God. Well, we had gods. Apostle Paul, he went to Athens in Acts 17, and as he walked around the city, he was like, whoa. The historians tell us in Athens, come with me now, there were more gods than there were people. Did you hear what I said? We Gentiles had more gods than we had people. And in Athens, it got so bad that they were worried they may have missed some god, so they were worshiping one. It says, to the unknown god. You remember that? You see, you can worship all the gods you want, but bless God, there is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man. And it's the man, Christ Jesus. It's not how many gods you have. Do you know the Jehovah God, El Shaddai? Do you know him, the one who actually made us? Not some god. You know, I've gone into people's homes and they have a god and it's on their mantelpiece. But I thank God, the God I worship cannot be put in anything made with hands. He cannot be contained. The entire universe cannot contain him. He is so big. One songwriter said, how big is God? He's so big, this vast universe cannot contain him. But here's the exciting thing. But he's so small, he can live within my heart. Does that excite you? That this almighty, magnificent, majestic God, he lives in my heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We were without Christ. We were without hope. We were without God. But what about them Jews? What about the Jews? You know, centuries earlier, God had called Abraham from among the Gentiles. Just make sure you realize that Abraham was a Gentile just like the rest of us. That's why some people will disagree with my theme and say, hey, there is only one race, so don't talk about God's new race, because there is only one race, and they're right. But I hope you understand the sense in which I'm, because even though there's one race, there is a sense that there are many races in terms of how we look at things today. And so God called Abraham, and God said, I am going to make you a great nation. And God gave certain promises to the Jews. God said to the Jews, for one thing, he said, listen, I am going to send you a Messiah. I'm going to send you a Messiah, and the Messiah, the word Messiah means what? The anointed one, and the name Christ also means what? The anointed one. God promised to send a Messiah, the Christ. He told the Jews that there was going to be this Messiah. And he not only gave them Christ, because I'm trying to help you to realize that there was a big dichotomy. The very things the passage is telling us that the Gentiles do not have, the Jews had a Messiah, a Christ. The Jews had hope. Nationally speaking, God said to the Jews, listen, this Christ is going to set up a kingdom right here on earth. And if you come to the Tuesday night Bible studies, you're going to find out about that, because that kingdom is yet to happen. And listen, every promise that God made is true, and everything is going to be fulfilled to the letter. And this promise of a coming kingdom is happening soon. But they had hope, but they also had God. You say, how do you mean they had God? Well, if you were studying with us in the book of Exodus, you remember that in the book of Exodus, God says to Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to make for me a tabernacle. And God tells Moses the specific dimensions of the tabernacle. He tells him every detail. And God says, I want you to make this tabernacle a place where I can. Did you hear that? God made a tabernacle among the Jews. The entire Jewish congregation would encamp around this tabernacle, because the tabernacle was the place that God dwelt. The Jews had Christ. The Jews had hope. The Jews had God. You sit there and you say, why did God, why was he so unfair? Why did he do that? Well, God had a big plan. Next time I'm going to be helping you to see parts of this big plan. But God had a big plan in mind. And part of his plan was that the Jews, these people who he had called and blessed in such a specific way, that they would worship him in spirit and in truth, and that these Jews would be an example to us heathens. These Jews would show us that there is one God. These Jews would show us how to worship this one God. The Jews were supposed to be an example. He was using them as he said to Abraham, through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Don't miss that, because sometimes, you know, we get all bent out of shape. Well, God, why did you pick the Jews? Why did they get such favorite treatment? They didn't get any favorite treatment. By the way, you look at the history of the Jews and see how much time God has spanked their behind over and over and over, because God chose them to be an example, and they have been a poor example. But hallelujah, God's plan can never be thwarted, because it was through the Jews we received a person by the name of Jesus Christ, God the Son, born as a Jew. But hallelujah, through him salvation has come to all mankind. Amen. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.